And our special guest tonight, Stephen Quayle. When we come back, we'll be talking with Stephen about some world conflicts, of course, Bigfoot and giants, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen Quayle, author of a primer for understanding bioterrorism called Breathe No Evil. That's how I had my first association with Steve many, many years ago. That was published back in 1996. And for the past 7 to 10 years, Steve has articulated the need for Americans to be aware of bioterrorism. And also, he has been investigating all kinds of anomalies on this planet as well. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. I guess I can call you a regular, can I, Stephen?
Well, yeah, I think that with the schedule and with the events that have taken place, unfortunately, George, we've been able to designate and define a lot of things ahead of time. So it's almost like when you and I get to discuss this stuff, it's past tense. But what we're going to be talking about tonight is very, very real, and what people will need to do with deal with some of the most difficult times that the planet, and especially the United States, has ever undergone.
Two-part program with you tonight. First part, we'll talk about some of these world events and the spill, and then we'll get into next hour, Bigfoot and giants, and take phone calls with you as well, because you've got some incredible stories on that that you've been doing and some research. Let me get your take first and foremost, Stephen, on Richard Hoagland's thought that there's this huge methane bubble in the Gulf that could explode with the force of an underwater Mount St. Helens type eruption. What's your take on that?
Well, number one, I agree with Richard Hoagland, and I want to draw everyone's attention to a Papua New Guinea tsunami that took place where the literal seas, George, were on fire. And the methane hydrate, which at pressure is obviously in a crystalline form, that once it warms up and goes to the surface, turns into a gas. I think we're looking at the most critically dangerous set of circumstances that could make the Dresden firestorm seem like Little League.
Yeah.
And I actually have, I will have this posted on my website. It's on my website already, but Papua, the day the sea caught fire. And what happened with the tsunami is that it came in, generated friction, a lot of the methane hydrate that was obviously frozen at depth came to the surface, and they found charred bodies. I think there were over 3,000 people killed, and that was around 1998, I think in August, actually around my birthday in August, and what a thing to remember. But I think the thing that people don't understand is that whether you're dealing with volatile organic compounds, what they call VOCs, I think what Richard's take is very, very real. And again, what's I think people need to understand this. There is a gag order on the scientists from telling really what they know. And my number one concern is the fracturing of the seabed in multiple places. Being on talk radio, especially when I go on with you, George, I'll get literally inundated with hundreds of phone calls and thousands of emails. My typical emails will go 300 to 400 a day. After being on coast, it'll go to 1,000 a day for about a week. And there are so many people out there with information that they want to share. No one will listen to them. And because they love their fellow Americans, they want the information out there. For instance, the idea to evacuate the Gulf Coast is very real. The operation name was Swift Fox. That was given to me by someone in government. It was known to the law enforcement community. And the whole idea is that once this event takes place, and we're talking about an explosive event, we're talking about the potential of magma chambers rupturing, but even beyond that, the compound of benzene and some of the different solvents, the organic solvents that are being used, one thing that no one's talked about are the chemtrail chemicals that are going to be mixing with those. We've got ethylene dibromide, and I'm not an organic chemist, and I'm sure there's some listening tonight, but we've got a soup, a mixture of absolute biblical proportions of death literally raining from above. And as we go into the hurricane season, and where I'm really gearing in on is the weather modification and weather wars that are taking place. Obviously, if someone wants to take advantage of the situation beyond what I believe is already a situation that will serve the Illuminati well to basically begin the depopulation of the planet. You know, it's nice people cannot imagine or fathom the evil that is out there. when you're dealing with the potential, and I'm saying potential at this point, implementation of the moving of 40 million people due to basically the air being unbreathable, the water being undrinkable. I mean, Tampa's got a desalination plant that they're worried about the oil fouling the intakes of that. The volatile organic compounds, benzene is known to be able to dissolve, for instance, rubber. It can interfere with the fuel, gasoline, all of the different things that are out there. The think tanks are already worried about this. How do you move that many people if the organic compounds in the air become so volatile that it literally eats the tires, eats the seals, and all these different things? So, well, we're being told, you know, basically take a golf game. And again, if I were the president of the United States, I want to go on record as saying this, I'd have my golf bag put up and I'd have my best men down on the coast trying to figure out how we're going to deal with this. And I'm not talking just about the oil that's pouring out. I'm talking about people's lives, people's livelihoods. So my concern is, like Richard's, and quite candidly, it's a real concern. The science is behind it, and the gag order is phenomenal. The reason the person gave me the name of the operational name for the evacuation when it takes place of the Gulf Coast, Swift Fox, is because he was very, very concerned at all of the ancillary issues. He told me that different groups of government credit card holders using different society names are renting hotels up and down the Gulf, when I say up and down the Gulf Coast, 100, 200 miles inland in the different states that are being prepared and readied to take all the evacuees. And it was pretty, he was so disturbed.
But you can't move that amount
exactly.
of people.
Exactly, and that's the key, okay? So what do you do in that? Now, put that into the equation with what Richard Hoagland is worried about. Stan Dale and I did a show. He was on with you, but together we were both on within, I think, a month of each other on Coast with you, and we were talking about the whole issue of methane hydrate, because, again, it's one of those things that when you hear of the great ships sinking so many times, it's been attributed, and I think there's a science special on the History Channel showing that basically the methane changes the specific gravity of water, and a ship that would normally float with buoyancy, when it gets into
they go right down.
They go right down. And you're an old Navy guy, so you know you're aware of that. And so the
I think that's part of the problem in the Bermuda Triangle, honestly. I think ships that have disappeared there in that triangle have hit these pockets, and they just sink.
Absolutely, and which brings us into the deep ocean trenches that I'm really concerned with, and you know, we'll get to that too when we talk about the giants, because a lot of what's going on in the Caribbean, especially with the Cayman Trench, which is one of the deepest in the world, and the Puerto Rican Trench, and a lot of the things that would influence the Bermuda Triangle seem to be becoming more active. In other words, there's more events taking place in the abyss. And I tell people, and I quote a guy by the name of Russ Dizdar on this, it's not the abyss, meaning the deep water, the deep expanse of the oceans. It's what's coming out of the water. And I mean that both in a natural sense and in a supernatural sense. Because again, the Bermuda Triangle, as well as other areas around the globe, have always been associated with anomalous lights, UFOs, all of the different things that we read about, but we never, pun intended, go deep enough.
No, that's true. Are you concerned about the oil getting picked up into the atmosphere, dropped down as rain?
Absolutely. It's not even so much as the oil, but all of the chemical dispersants
that are included in there.
Whether it's methyl chlorate, the benzene. And again, I want to make this clear. For so many years, people have just blown off the chemtrail issue. And the chemtrail's real. You can go and find all of the different patents. I have them in my book on weather wars and unnatural disasters. And that book is so timely. You know, it's funny because it seems like when you and I go on a show, we'll talk about stuff. I wrote Weather Wars almost 4 or 5 years ago, and now the weather wars are underway. I mean, you see China's flooding. You see the information about the Three River Gorges Dam ready to break because it's got cracks in it. And see, this is what people don't understand. When you're dealing with the area of technological warfare that's beyond the realm of the average person, it's almost like always blamed on nature or an act of God, and telling people it's not an act of God, it's the people that are making war against God. And the thing that's interesting in this whole realm is that the technology is there, the statements from former secretaries of defense is there, Brzezinski, national security advisor, and Tom Bearden has done an exemplary job of defining scalar weapons and scalar potential, and now we're seeing the whole thing playing out. Weird weather all over the planet.
All over the place.
All over the Billings, Montana, George. I mean, we never have, I won't say never, but the last tornado there was in 1954. And now we're seeing hailstorms, even in Bozeman, where I live, that just come up seemingly out of nowhere. And I'm talking clouds with hail at 500 feet above the ground. Now, that's really unusual. And multiple fronts, almost a vortex being created. So what we're experiencing in the Gulf Coast is a potential for the worst-case scenario. And as one of the current administration's chief of staff said, he said, never let a good crisis go to waste, okay?
Well, that's a fear. That's a danger.
Yep, and the thing is that my concern is for all the people that are my friends, your relatives, our fellow countrymen that are basically being kept in the dark and, in my opinion, fed manure, and they're being given a daily dosage of Bravo Sierra. Meanwhile, we've got military moving into that whole area. I mean, train load after train load, truck load after truck load, and people are now noticing, which we've been talking, warning about for years, all the presence of foreign troops. Well, the foreign troops are here under a NATO sharing program, and there's so many of them that the plan is to basically put us into a state of such horrific happenings that ultimately martial law, and I want to define martial law. Martial law means the military takes over, but it's basically run at the point that it's being proposed and propagated by presidential decision directives. That means that Congress has no say. So the thing that I'm concerned about, first of all, is the loss of life. We're going to see the oil rains affecting crops. We're already hearing that. We're getting reports. I mean, I get literally dozens and dozens of reports a day from people in hospitals, medical facilities throughout the whole Gulf Coast of people getting sick, the respiratory.
Yeah, I was going to say they're having trouble breathing, aren't they?
Yes, and see, that's the thing, because breath is life. And, you know, it's almost like it's like a choking event. Now, obviously, there are missing links in the whole story of what really happened to the Gulf Oil platform. You know, for instance, the crew of 14 men that shows up that have never been seen on the platform again. I think Jack McClam just broke a story that his sources are saying that, you know, they heard multiple explosions. All of the anomalies, and I know you've had a lot of people on talking about this, but my main concern isn't just, quote, the natural realm. You know, the abyss has always been associated with very supernatural evil entities. And again, you know, it's one thing to talk about this. It's one thing to have anecdotal evidence. It's one thing to have different stories, people seeing this and seeing that. But when it becomes so obvious that the only way you can understand this stuff is in the supernatural realm of war, and you go back to the ancient texts of the Indian subcontinent, the Mahabharata, the Vimrayana, and some of the Vedic texts, they're talking about wars that have taken place between God's men, Zachariah Sitchin's title to his book. So what I'm worried about is obviously the book of Revelation. I believe you had Whitley on
there. I was just going to ask you, do you see a tie-in here between the book of Revelation and what's happening with this spill?
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything that can, you know, the sea turning to blood, the sea doesn't become as blood, it turns to blood. Obviously, you know, the situation of the photographs are indicating, I think this is just a precursor of worse things to come, but there's no way to put this into context other than the end of the age. Your earthquakes are increasing. Should they use a nuclear device, obviously the concern is that it will have a P wave, a pressure wave that will initiate the New Madrid and cause literally the splitting of the United States. The Gulf Coast is now the one major area of focus, but the real area of trouble I believe people should be watching in addition to this is Iceland, because Iceland with the volcano You know, that's the top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which goes into the Azores and the Canaries. And remember, even the History Channel and National Geographic have been carrying stories about what happens if Cumbre Vieja goes off. And if you go off the coast of Africa in that very same region, that's where most of the hurricanes, quote, begin to form. And it's just so interesting that that's where a lot of, quote, the high technology of different countries have put up their different ionospheric heaters, i.e. like HAARP. And also they have them so condensed now that they can put them on big ships so you can move your weather machine around the different oceans. So what I'm really concerned of, and I'm seeing this, I'm seeing military members who still love their country, who take their oath seriously to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, they're starting to come forth and saying, wait a minute, this is not right. They're leaking. I don't know if you know this, but the Obama administration has literally come down so hard on people that are whistleblowers. And the thing is that I you know, the supposed campaign promise of openness has turned into the most repressive. If you're a whistleblower, you used to be doing your country a favor. Now if you're a whistleblower, you face death, assassination, or worse. You know, I mean, the bottom line is that it's a very hostile environment in this country, in America you and I love, and we want to restore. It's, I'm afraid that the people that want to bring this country down have so accelerated their plan that I think that the idea, you know, you and I have talked together over the years about the Illuminati plan to destroy 5.5 billion people.
Well, they accelerated the plan because they're panicking.
Absolutely. And I think the web bots just came out with a new report saying 1.289 or 1.489 billion people are going to die as a basis of what's going on in the Gulf. Because remember, the seas in the Book of Revelation turn to blood. A third of the sea life dies. Now, the shipping, you know, a third of the ships in the sea, they haven't gone yet. But I think the event that, and I can just call it the sub-oceanic explosion.
Well, what happens to the plankton in the sea?
Well,
that which the fish need to eat, right?
You got it. I mean, when you kill the lowest ladder or the lowest level on the ladder of the food chain, everything above it dies.
You fall down the ladder.
Right, and 40% of the United States eats off of the Gulf Coast. Now we've got the situation with the slog and bog in the different farm areas around the country. You see, the tragedy is if you don't understand the technology and do not understand the mindset that is so evil that to starve people, again, when you have no compassion, this is what I'm trying to get through to people, soulless, S-O-U-L-L-E-S-S entities that take human life with such contempt that it doesn't matter if you starve them, doesn't matter if you poison them, because the ultimate goal is the absolute depopulation of the planet, and they've escalated, George, and even whether the Bilderberg or the G20, anything, we're dealing with a financial ruination of this country. We've been raped, pillaged, and plundered. When you start talking trillions and trillions and quadrillions of dollars, you know, on your show, I was the first guy, and I'm only saying this to put things into reference for all the naysayers. I was the first guy when they were talking about derivatives, financial debt instruments or death instruments, being in the quadrillion realm. People said, oh, there's not that much money in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and again, see, again, now we live in a...
And it's even bigger than they say.
Yeah, and see, this is the thing. If you take everything that everyone produced in 1 year, you'd be fortunate to come up with 12 to 14 trillion. When you've got a derivative mess, meaning debt, someone basically sold, and I'll tell you who that is, it's obvious, someone sold all of the people in the United States and the businesses a bill of goods, giving them almost a seemingly endless supply of money during the go-go years, and then cut it off, and everything that we owned were like the days of Joseph in the Old Testament.
Isn't that what they do to third world nations, Stephen? They lend them money, then they realize they can't pay it, so they basically foreclose on the country.
That's what they're doing with Greece. That's what they'll be doing with Portugal. They've already done it with Iceland. They're going to do it with Ireland, Spain. I mean, and see, when you look at where the United States stands, we're like the worst basket case, and I mean basket case, banana republic now as a potential. So, George, if we are $60 trillion in debt, how long will it take? It'll take us 5 years. If people did nothing, and that's just what they admit to, and that's just our national debt. That's not the derivatives debt. So, in essence, everything that everyone's ever worked for, our future, our hope, our children, grandchildren's dream, has been mortgaged to the international banking devil cartel.
More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Well, did you ever hear of a blonde Bigfoot? I kid you not. Well, Stephen Quayle has. We'll talk about that in Giants next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Stephen Quayle. Next hour, we'll get into some very strange things that Stephen has been looking at. Stephen, this situation here, when you talk about the plan, do you know if they've been talking about it, think tanks, and you mentioned scientists, but are there some people planning this disaster?
Yeah.
Will it be organized? Or are we going to have another Hurricane Katrina on our hands?
We're going to have another Hurricane Katrina on it. And the thing, yes, it's planned. Yes, the whole thing's going on. You know, look at the just the amount of barrels that are being put forth as leaking. You know, I think it was George Ure of Urban Survival that calculated when you've got an oil slick 100 miles long, 25 miles wide, and 500 feet deep, you can figure the volume of that pretty easily. And we're already not getting the full grasp of the permeation of the oil, but that's not even, the well is secondary to all of the other fractures that are taking place. And now we've got the story that they knew in February. See, this is the plan of the Illuminati. And George, you've got to understand, in their point of view, we look at evacuation of the Gulf as a potential for, you know, them caring about people. With all of the troops that are in this country, last week in Chicago, Polish troops, Latvian troops were videoed by Alex's film crew, and I have had multiple four-star generals, multiple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Admiral Thomas Moore, who is a former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you remember him, George?
Sure do.
Well, a certain researcher friend of mine who is just blessed, I'll just tell you her first name, Sue, when she was working with Admiral Moore to basically do some research for him on a bunch of subjects, he said, you need to listen to Steve Quayle. And she said, why? She didn't know who I was until that time. And he said, because he's the only one. Now, this was 10 years ago, okay? I think when we first started talking, as a matter of fact. And the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, because he's the only one telling people what's really at stake here. I'm not saying that to blow my horn. What I am saying is that when you and I do a show like this and we start tracking who's hitting our website, you'll be surprised at how many Defense Department, CIA, how many people listen to this show. And I mean, that's normal. But when we start talking about certain subjects, George, we can watch the servers go from 5,000 to 35,000 instantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what I'm saying about that is that the mass riot control and mass detention that's planned is not because these people are benevolent, okay? You remember the Air Force story that broke about a week to 10 days ago, where basically the Air Force is being positioned to deal with quote-unquote domestic terrorism?
Yep.
Well, I got to tell you, I had a certain individual stop by my office, and this is real, okay? And how I go public with something, let me just tell everybody, I have to have 2 to 3 confirmations independent of each other and not in the same vein. In other words, 3 guys in the Navy or Army aren't going to convince me. But what I've tried to do is try to weigh everything. And I tell everybody, listen, if you're a person of prayer, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're a person that has to see it on Fox, you're already dead. If you're a person that believes that the mainstream news is telling you the truth, you're already dead. And I mean that dead in thought. The bottom line is Polish troops, Latvian troops, there are so many foreign troops. Now, let me tell you a story from Chicago. A certain group of law enforcement guys there get it, okay? And I've been telling people, watch out for foreign observers. The reason the foreign observers are in local law enforcement throughout the country is because they have dossiers on every single law enforcement officer, where their kids go to school, where their wives work if they do, or at their home. The thing that I was told by one of America's top agents who passed away 6 months ago, he said they will put their people, and this guy worked for the, you know, 3-letter boys, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Langley, and he said they'll put their agents into the different departments, and they'll note anybody that won't go along with their plan, because the plan is ultimately the destruction of the United States. So, you know, when people say, well, I don't see any foreign troops around, when George Bush Sr. was president, he gave over close to a couple hundred bases to NATO. Obviously, NATO is composed of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Then also under request, the United Nations, especially the Security Council, which brings in Russia and China and other Security Council members, basically we've made a request, and the United States government formally made a request for, you know, Russian troops and Chinese troops to aid and assist the United States during this tumultuous turmoil that is expected. I want to share this with you. I would like with all my heart to believe they care about the 40 million people. I don't believe it, okay? I think that, you know, even people who were in Moscow. Now, why I know the story that Robert Jones posted on his website, the story about a guy that went over to Moscow, he had ties with the Russians, and they showed him a letter from the Department of Homeland Security requesting Russian troops, and it was all centered around gun confiscation in America.
Well, have you heard the story? This is what I wanted to ask you, too. These 12 Afghan soldiers who are training here, and they're gone?
Yeah, 17 exactly. 17?
17 of them. And yeah, it's been over a two-year period, right?
Right. And what's fascinating about that, if you go to the British blackjack game, it's almost like Steve Jackson's Illuminati game. There are 17.
Where are they?
So what I'm really concerned with, okay? And again, look, over the years, I've tried to tell people what's going on, and I got really frustrated and still do, because if people won't believe what they see, how can they believe what they don't see, even if somebody says we're going to do 29 American cities, i.e. Ahmadinejad and Khomeini years ago, and 29 cities are on their hit list, and then, you know, people say, listen, a group of men and women without equal, special operations guys and ladies, by the way. I should tell you a story. I can't use her name, but I can tell you a story of probably one of the most amazing women in the world who not only flies stuff that most people don't even know exists, but basically has fought the giants in their own terrain. And I know we'll get to that in the next section.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about events that have truly happened. And by the way, the suitcase nukes are not old Cold War relics. You can buy anything on the black market. Saddam Hussein, when he was still in power, held up a nuclear trigger, a cue switch. Defense intelligence said he didn't have them. The vomit press said they didn't have them. And he sits there and smiles and holds it up. Anything and everything is available on the black market. It does not matter. You can get it. There are no countries that honor, quote, nuclear nonproliferation. They do it on the outside, or, you know, for public consumption, but everybody sells everybody everything. So I'm really concerned with the amount of foreign troops in this country, and I'm talking in the hundreds of thousands. So, you know, look, I've never been in the military. I've made that clear. But I know this, when you got four-star generals telling you something, probably it's not beyond their pay grade to know something like that.
Well, Stephen, you know, the way things have been going, I remember that night you and I, we stayed on the air for 5 hours. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
When we were hearing stories of planes moving very strangely in the night, people calling us. Something was weird going on. We never got to the bottom of that one, though, did we?
No. And again, you know, this is something that people don't understand. In history, you have events that ebb and they flow. They recede. They come on and then they back off. You know, when I'm being told in real time, and there was a time for 3 years where, when I say real time, I meant my computer screen, you know, would fry most people's brains, including mine. I don't mean the electromagnetics. I just mean the amount of information coming in. And yet, you know, a good example, how about the Periscope that was chased off of Florida by a boater, okay? It was not a U.S. sub there. What's telling and compelling, in one picture, they showed the Periscope, and the next picture, it had been airbrushed out, or the next time the picture was seen. So what we've got, George, is we've got lurkers. We've had supersonic Tupolev 160 bombers within 5 miles of our coast, and they scrambled all their air assets, meaning U.S. military. So what I don't think people understand is this, is that if they believe the government, if they believe that the mainstream news is telling you what's really going on, quite candidly, the sex lives of X, Y, and Z, or, you know, what's hot and what's not in the food realm is not really what we should be worried about. We should worry about, will there be any food next year? So the idea is that these people do not care about life. You know, you ask them, they've got all the money in the world. People ask me this, and I asked one of them. I said, what is the deal with these guys? And he said, Steve, it's not about money. It's about the control and the power. They take on a God complex.
Well, it's a game for them.
It is a game, but it's a sinister game. It's a very cynical game. And right now, George, what we're seeing is the outplaying. By the way, I'm just getting a...
They pulled the legs off spiders.
Yes, they do.
They
or
kids.
They basically smashed the heads of puppies, okay? And what is really tough is this. When the U.S. Air Force is talking about, using aerial assets inside this country, that translates out to me to mean something very, very, very dangerous. You know, when I have someone from the Air Force in my office that comes by and he says, I said, Steve, I'm a Christian, but he says, what I see and hear happening, he says, I live in the PSYOPs world. He said, every time you or Alex or anybody on Coast to Coast gets too close, he said, we instantly go out and we basically will undermine or do anything we can to put subterfuge over the subject matter, okay? And for the record, they're extremely interested when you and I talk about giants and super soldiers, okay?
Yeah.
But so for 2 hours, and with tears in his eyes, and by the way, this guy is an officer. He's not a flunky. And he says, what I see what's being planned is to use the aerial assets of the United States Air Force against American citizens. He said, I'm an American.
No, you're not calling enlisted flunkies, are you?
Pardon?
You're not calling enlisted flunkies, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
All right.
Okay. No. I'm talking about they're either, and I don't want to give away his rank, okay?
Okay.
But let's just say this, there's only two people higher than him, so you can probably put it together.
All right, okay.
And again, this is somebody that, you know, somebody, and then when I talk to Greg Evenson or others, and he's being told something independent of me, of people that have never heard me talk about this, it starts to get my attention. So the thing is, George, is we're surrounded by enemies, internal and external. We've got 17, I think it may be, down to 12 now, Afghani pilots trained. Everybody's worried about the false flag. The June 21st to 28th date is coming up. And for the record, I interviewed on my radio program a guy by the name of Mr. B. You know, we call him China Joe. He lives in Asia, and he's saying that quite candidly. And by the way, he said on my radio show there are 16 trillionaires that run the world, okay? 16 trillionaires, not billionaires, trillionaires. That's a thousand.
I believe that.
And he said this. He said by the 30th of June. Now, look, I'm only telling you what he said. It's a matter of record. He said the financial world is going to be in such a state of tumult and turmoil. Not that it will happen on that date. It will begin to unfold. That it will absolutely take your breath away. And he said the richest guys he knows. And by the way, he works for one of the trillionaires, and he's very well-to-do himself. The thing is that he said everyone's headed to their hideouts and hideaways. And I said, even in Asia? He said, even in Asia. So the point is that everyone knows it's coming. You see, I think here's the bottom line at this point in the show. We're at a point in history, George, unlike any other time that and for any other generation that's ever lived on planet Earth, the whole Earth, everything, geologically, cosmologically, economically, spiritually, everything is going through a change. And, you know, to quote the current president, he said, America's the greatest country in the world. We intend to change that. Well, I got to tell you something. The hopelessness, despair, the broken lives, the broken dreams, the broken hearts, the broken bodies of veterans I deal with and stuff, I'm telling you this. That this great country, I love what our country was when it was a land of covenant. You know, you remember when the Star Spangled Banner used to play, you know, we, even the American president.
I remember when people used to put their hands on their heart.
Right. And you know, not show contempt on the stage with as the president of the United States. See, here's the thing.
By the way, I'm not a believer that you have to wear a flag lapel pin all the time to show your patriotism and your love for this country.
Agreed. But also, the love of this country is based on the love of truth. And when America quits standing for truth, you know, the country that everyone loved. Have you ever seen A.A. Allen's vision, 1954, George? He was an American evangelist, of the Statue of Liberty drowning in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes. Yes, I
now,
remember that.
Now, that's what's fascinating. Here's an evangelist. He goes up, you know, to the Empire State Building, and he's given a telescope, but the telescope doesn't show him, you know, Manhattan and stuff. It shows him the whole world, but specifically the Statue of Liberty being brought to its knees in the Gulf of Mexico. And see, never let a good crisis go to waste. What I'm extremely concerned about is that the people who can leave the coast should leave the coast, not in a panic mode, but the last thing anybody should ever want to be is a refugee. I think the minute they start seeing, will probably be too late, but everybody's got to have, if you will, a measure, an action plan.
You have to. Now, what signs are there for people before they start to jump? Right? What's going to be out there? What can they see?
Well, they can physically see the higher presence of military indicates that the soon, whether that's a week, 10 days, 3 days, a very strong presence of the military. Any word that multiple hurricanes are building off the Sahel, S-A-H-E-L, region of Africa, or anything that indicates that they're getting set for a hurricane that will hit land in the Gulf, they should be going. You know, remember, Katrina, a lot of people stayed, and they were warned in plenty of time.
Well, that's true.
And I got to tell you something. I'm just getting, and I want to read this on the air. A gentleman we will call Weather Watcher is picking up strong weather signal, which is creating basically a protective donut around a specific Air Force base in the U.S. And it says that, we've been creating a high in the Caribbean Gulf to counteract it's the Chinese off the Cape Verde Island. The weather patterns in the Midwest, which are, havoc, they're under, bottom line is, we're really getting hit with weather warfare and modification. And Jared, you can go on the internet and type in weather warfare and weather wars and come up with patents for weather controlling. You can come up with statements. So again, for people who say, well, I don't believe that stuff because that's all woo-woo. Well, the woo-woo is about ready to hit the doo-doo, okay?
Stephen, hurricane season, we're in it now. What do you think? What kind of year is this going to be?
I think that they will use the capabilities that are at their fingertips to generate hurricanes. I want people to understand this. There are natural hurricanes, but then there are generated hurricanes when you obviously change the surface temperature of the ocean, specifically the Gulf. That can be done with high-energy plasma physics, as Tom Bearden is so wonderfully taught, and he isn't in good health, so you can't get him to come on the radio show.
I tried.
Yeah, there's exothermic and endothermic scalar waves. One can heat it up and one can freeze it faster than you can imagine. So what's happening, and this is you get super potentials, and this is what is really concerning to me. And I've asked some of the smart guys, so what happens? You got A making war against B, B making war against C. You've got all these signals, all these energy sources bouncing off each other, He said a lot of it's absorbed into the oceans and into the atmosphere. And so you basically have got the perfect recipe for the ultimate climatic disaster. And it's not, quote, an act of God. It's an act of very sinister people. You know, most people don't understand that God takes his creation pretty seriously. You know, when I talk about God, everybody gets all bent out of shape. But God notes the fact that there are people trying to destroy the earth. In the book of Revelation, George, he says, he will destroy those who destroy the earth. So when you've got the Illuminati at war with God, I mean, unfortunately, this has gone on before. This is something that's not new. Every empire that has ever been, when it walks in justice and liberty, it's one thing. When it turns to tyranny and destruction and death, it basically ceases to exist. I've said this 100 times. Maybe this will be the 101st time. But God judges nations in time, in history. He judges individuals in eternity.
When we come back, we will talk about Bigfoot and giants. Get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM.